Hello, I'm Philip Stoughton. I'm here at Productronica 2023 and I'm on the Aegis booth with Jason Spearer. Jason, always a pleasure to talk to you and find out what's going on in the industry. Let's talk a little bit about Europe, first of all, because we're here. What have you seen in terms of demand for your product and what's vexing your customers here at the moment?
Well, I think that it's actually been a quite, well, the show's been great, and it's been a good year in Europe because I think that the economic reticence and everything that gripped the United States in the first half of the year hasn't been as severe in Europe, but there are concerns because the uncertainty is definitely impacting the buying patterns that we see.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, I've spoken to a lot of EMS companies while I've been here this week, and there is a sense that they've been waiting for a downturn and kind of expecting it. And as this big bubble of inventory has worked its way through the kind of back end of the bullwhip effect, it's starting to have an impact now. So they're concerned about next year. But one of the things they're telling me is it's kind of a chance to catch their breath and think about what they're doing operationally and think about operational excellence and think about efficiency. That's pretty good news for people like you.
It is. We've been around for 25 years. We've always seen that when people are buying tons of machines, they take their eye off MES, MOM systems because you're trying to increase your capacity. It makes perfect sense, and all your capital is going that way. When there's less of that, they then start turning to, okay, well, let's put things in place that make us better when the market comes back, and that is something we're seeing right now. So, yes, it is good for us.
Yeah, and it's time for them to implement. What kind of features are they looking for that perhaps they haven't been concerned of in the past, now that they are perhaps being a little bit more introspective?
Oh, that's a great question. I think we were talking about it at the company today. It seems like the Industry 4.0, while it didn't manifest as fast or in the way people thought, it's clear that the issues of like IoT, gathering data from the machines, analytics, all those, the ability to do personalized manufacturing automatically, all of that is starting to take shape. We're being asked for it. We're also looking at where people have the vertical integration and they want a single holistic platform from, you know, all the way up to the large scale assembly down to the board. So all of that automation is actually now becoming real. Whereas I think we went through maybe 4 or 5, maybe more years where it was conceptual. It wasn't well defined. But it is happening more slowly than people thought.
Yeah, and there have been some, I think some fundamental building blocks that have contributed to that. CFX is one of them. We got a bit bogged down with how do we connect the machines and gather the data, then rather than how do we turn that data into insight and value. That's more important. The other thing that we've seen a lot of in the EMS industry is this desire to create their own systems, create their own software, and that's always been a bit of a barrier for the big MES guys. Have they realized that it's really, really hard to do?
They have. It's an understandable cycle that goes on, because in the past, the only way you could accommodate the special requirements of one customer, if you're in a 15-line plant and you have all the different customer dedicated lines, was it would often lead to the conclusion, we have to have IT develop something custom for each customer. But that was quite some time ago. With the configurability and the composability of modern platforms like ours, it can accommodate wildly different needs and configurations and production types on a single platform in one enterprise. So I think that when the organizations realize that's true, and if they look to the shadow cost going on in the companies of maintaining these systems, it will become a better business, a more clear business situation, that it's better to go to a commercial platform than doing it in-house. So in summary, it's an understandable road that led to that, but I think if people did real business analysis of the net cost of approaching it, it probably wouldn't work out terribly well.
No, it didn't make sense, doesn't it? So we spoke earlier about Mark Zuckerberg referring to 2023 as the year of efficiency for Meta. I'm calling that as 2024 for the EMS industry, the year of not just efficiency, but operational excellence. And there's a few dynamics involved in that. One of the dynamics I see, particularly in the U.S., is a reshoring dynamic that is leading companies to have a desire to grow but not being able to grow their workforce. So there's a talent issue. I'm curious, when you look at traditional automation, but more importantly perhaps software automation, how you feel that can support that and maybe mitigate some of that risk?
Absolutely. Our systems play a big role in that. Now, we can't find them personnel to hire, but what we can do is the connected frontline worker concept where when you pull someone into the company, the time to get them viable in production is radically reduced. When you have digital work instructions, you're guiding everything. They can basically become effective very, very rapidly. And errors they would make that normally would have to be trained out are process interlocked when you have a digital system like ours. So you can, unfortunately, if you have a lot of turnover, you can get those people into value add a lot faster when you have a digital system.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And, you know, that turnover of staff is something that people are suffering. You know, you spend 6 months training someone and suddenly they're working at your competitor.
Exactly. And that money is just gone. So, yeah.
That's absolutely, absolutely fundamental. What I also wanted to talk about a little bit, and I know it's become the replacement buzzword for Industry 4.0 is now AI.
Oh, I was wondering which one you were going to choose.
There you go. Absolutely. So, how are you leveraging it? How are you using it practically? And how far are we away from being able to actually get a dividend from the use of AI?
Well, I think it's basically upon us now. Our vision is that there's a synergy between our platform and the AI systems that are out there. And some of them are getting quite good. And if you think about it as a bit of a loop, our system has a breadth of data that exceeds what you can get from just IoT connections because we have the frontline workers. They basically become a data source. We have material integration. We have the ERP bridges that we have. So there's this much greater mass of contextualized data that we can make available to an AI. So if you consider an AI engine that's seeking all this data, it becomes more powerful the more data it has access to. That's the nature of it. And what we want from it and what our customers want is Aegis has had analytics and dashboards and reports for, I think it's 25 years. But it's valuable, of course, but we present data in every conceivable way. The customer wants it to go to another level. And it's really quite simple conceptually. They don't want to even have their engineers take that time to look at data to draw conclusions and take action. They want that span of time truncated to basically nothing. Is that the AI suggests, we just looked at all this data. This is where you should focus your attention and possibly even to the level of this is where you should do something. And our customers are saying, well, Aegis has the ability to process interlock, quarantine things, physically control the environment. So imagine it's a very nice loop. We're aggregating more data, we're passing it to an AI, and the AI tells the system what to do, and then the system executes it. So that's what we think is really actually very exciting.
Yeah, and it's exciting when I hear you talk about the way it's used. I've played with AI and I've looked at it in various different environments, and I think it's got this fantastic co-pilot potential. And another person I was speaking to said, what you need is an AI sandwich. So you need humans at the front end to produce the data and make sure the learning sets are good. You need AI to do all the grunt work and do all the hard work. And then you need to make sure it hasn't come up with something insane at the end and it's applicable. So if you can use it to, as you say, process interlock, you can use it to hold lines, you can use it to highlight problems and suggest and recommend and then allow someone to make a final decision, you're cutting out a lot of labor. And again, that's going to help with the talent shortage.
And absolutely. And it is it's that compression of the time that process engineers and all their skill, no matter how good they are, it does take time. And they also, AI has the benefit of being able to look at much more vast data sets than we can. So we see it as creating this, like a digitized continuous improvement, because that's what normally your process people would be doing, and they still will be involved, of course, but just the velocity of it is much greater.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's where it adds the huge amount of value. The other thing that I've always liked about Aegis is you don't just supply MES to the EMS industry. You work in a whole lot of other industries, and I'm always curious to know what you're learning from other industries and which industries are really pushing hard and perhaps informing what should be informing this industry.
Yeah, I think it is. It does inform our designs, and as you mentioned, because in the discrete world, where yes, I think every customer we has circuit boards somewhere, right? But if you're building car doors or an aircraft, you look at that as a part number, yeah. right, the board, and their perspective is usually broader. SMT tends to focus around the line. There's that line obsession, maybe going to test and find, you know, box build, but the discrete manufacturers want solutions that are spanning all the way from loading dock out and all the control of everything in there. And it has, obviously, we're back flushing those improvements into the surface mount world as well.
Yeah, I think that's essential. And actually, the good news is when I talk to people and they talk about their digital transformation, they're now talking much more about their business processes, their supply chain, the whole ecosystem. And all the conversations I had maybe 5 years ago about the glass factory have been replaced by the glass pipeline. That's where they really want the data. They really want to understand the flow of the materials and how it impacts them, because they know they can build stuff once they've got everything there.
It's absolutely true. It's that extension of the view that larger, and not always larger, I mean, many organizations are having a much broader view of what digitization is, because you're right, it backs all the way into supply chain, and it goes out into the field. Like, we have to control RMA and MRO operations as well, so the units are coming back over 20 years. So it's really kind of, I think we lose track of, if we were talking about this 10 years, which we might have been 10 years ago, some of this stuff would have seemed very futuristic, but it is actually happening now.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And you know, the last dimension that I've spoken to people about this week is the importance of the ESG elements, particularly here in Europe with legislation. And they see the digital transformation of that data as being equally essential as everything else in their supply chain.
Absolutely. We have a device back here that integrates with the power consumption. And CFX is now supporting the transport of power data, because especially in Europe with the new regulations and so forth. And our system, you know, handles that data as well, because you have to, in order to comply, you have to actually have the information. So that's a big thing.
And you want to be able to pass that data up and down the supply chain. Jason, always a pleasure to talk. I feel like we could talk all day, but we probably shouldn't. Thank you for your time.
You.